Welcome to Sunday School this morning. If you're able to stand, would you join me in standing? We'll start by singing one song this morning. It'll be hymn number 57. At Calvary, you can look up at the words together. Years I spent in vanity and pride. We'll sing the first, third, and last verses together. Years I spent. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. My burden so found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Applied to me there, my burden so found liberty at Calvary. On the last, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Thank you for singing this morning. You may be seated.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Pastor John Waterloo. Visiting pastor. Yeah, I thought I'd come back. Yes. Amen. So let me dispel any rumors, lies, and falsehoods that could be going around. I did not almost die, okay? Very mild case. I had a fever for like 15 hours. That was it. So I was very fortunate. So we praise the Lord for that. I have been released, so I'm not contagious, but I am wearing a mask because some of you are really nervous and don't want to be around me without it. And but anyways, we're excited to be here. Definitely so appreciate your prayers. No one else in the family got it. No symptoms, staff, anybody, all the fun stuff. So we praise the Lord for that. And we'll continue on. I imagine there'll be several more catch it. We'll keep praying. And God's just been good. God's just been good. So we serve a great God. So good to see you. Definitely so. Well, we're blessed today. I don't know. One of the things with this COVID stuff, you look at all the negatives. I saw, which you probably saw too online, the T-shirt that said 2020 and it's got 5 stars. And then it gives it a 1-star rating. And it says 2020, do not recommend. Yeah, and very cute. Yeah, probably ought to get some. But anyways, with everything canceling and changing, we always have that perspective of looking at things as a great negative. But for us, it's become a positive because a lot of people canceled on Brother Sam Davison. And their loss is our gain, is what I said. And so several weeks back, I got a hold of Brother Davison, and we were just talking. It was his birthday, and I was just asking about his schedule and what was going on, and he let me know that had a lot of things canceled in August. I went, well, did you? And so it wasn't on our calendar, but we were able to schedule him and him and his wife, so we're so excited about that, and it worked out. I didn't know I'd be sick for a couple weeks either. And so it actually worked out really well. It's neat to see how the Lord works things out. Amen. God's like, how about you be sick right now? And so we're glad. I hate to say it. Those churches that canceled Brother Davison, thank you. We do thank you. And but he'll be with us all day today and preaching for Sunday School, of course, the main service and tonight. So I hope you'll be a part of that. And if you're online and would like to come, like I said, he will be here all day. That'll be good. Now, Sunday School, real quick, next week kind of goes back to a normal schedule, all of our adult classes. Some of our children's classes will still be mixed for a few weeks, but that's in the bulletin. You'll know where to take them and so forth. But most of that goes back to a normal schedule next weekend. Summer's done. People are getting back to school. And so we're moving forward with that as more people are coming back to church, opening up those ministries. And so be aware of that as you come in next week and what people to help guide you and so forth. Definitely so. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn over to Brother Davison then and let him come and preach the word. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the day and each opportunity you give us to serve you, Lord. We thank you for not just health, Lord, but we thank you for your love, your grace. And Lord, as we are able to spiritually see how you work things out, Lord, as already mentioned, we thank you that Brother and Mrs. Davison had the opportunity to come this weekend, Lord, and to be with us. And we see that as your hand, that you're moving, that you've already placed on his hearts the words that we need. Lord, and not the people maybe who aren't here or won't be listening, Lord, but Lord, those of us who are here, this is what we need, Lord. So may we have receptive hearts, Lord. May we leave challenged, encouraged, convicted if need be, Lord. Whatever you have designed for us, Lord, may we receive it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Brother Sam Davidson, you come preach the word, sir.
Thank you, Pastor, and good morning. Our pastor back home also had a positive test, and sort of like Brother Waterloo, I think they both just kind of used it to get some time off and stuff. But anyway, he talked about some of the work that he got done while he was quarantined, and pretty much very low symptoms and such as that. So we're thankful for that. I joke about it, but we're very thankful for that. I'm glad that he's here today. I'm really happy about that. Looking forward to the fellowship. And for those of you that we may not have met yet, I've been coming to Central Baptist since probably about 1977, somewhere right in there, off and on over the years with Brother B. And I can remember when this young lady was a young girl and eating in their home and having great fellowship with Brother B and the family. And then with the Waterloos all these years, been a real, real blessing. And so I love this church and thank God for it. And I'm like everybody else. I'll be glad when all this is done. I don't use the term. I'll be glad when we get back to normal at church. We want to be above normal at church. Come on. And but I am looking forward to all this being in the past. It's weird to me with everybody masking and everything, and I'm not being ugly about it. I'm just saying, you go to the grocery store. I used to never go to the grocery store, and I'm not pastoring, not president of school. I got more time, and I go to the grocery store. Man, we have one great grocery store I love going to. We spend more money nowadays than we used to, but anyway, go to the grocery store, and usually you help people get something off the shelf. You speak, and I mean, it's Oklahoma. People are friendly there in Oklahoma City. Talk to people and everything, get acquainted. And ever since this, it's like people are coming down the aisle with their mask, and you look at them, and it's like, don't look at me. And I wanted to say, you don't get it by eye contact. Come on, let's be friendly again. We could use a little smile here and there along the way. But anyway, you have to live with it and deal with it, and so we are. I was thinking about Brother Waterloo the whole week that he notified me and gave me a happy birthday on my 75th birthday. I just happened to be preaching in Waterloo, Iowa, so I had him on my mind. Actually, Brother Sam first, but anyway, I had the Waterloos on my mind all that week and thanked the Lord for their friendship. 113th Psalm is where we are this morning, the 113th Psalm. Now, I'm not going to read the psalm and then go back through it. We're just going to work our way through it. This 113th Psalm, I don't know if I say this is my favorite psalm, but it's definitely among my favorite psalms. And I love the message of this psalm we're going to focus on this morning. So we're just going to kind of make our way through it rather than read the whole thing, as I said. So let's just start in verse number 1. We get a pretty good clue of what's going on in the psalm by the very first words. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're kind of tipped off right at the beginning that this psalm has a good deal to do with praising the Lord, as do many other psalms. I'm not trying to say it's unique to this psalm at all. Many of the psalms have to do with the fact that the Lord ought to be praised and such as that. But this psalm begins with quite an emphasis upon the matter of praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, praise O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. If you look down at verse number 9, the last four words of the psalm are, praise ye the Lord. So it begins and ends with the fact that the Lord ought to be praised. Now, I'm not going to insult your intelligence this morning, go into a big detailed explanation or definition of the word praise. I think we pretty much have a good general idea, although we might need reminded along the way because there are those that think they have gained a handle on the use of praise and praise music and praising the Lord and such as that. Well, to praise the Lord obviously means to express gratitude, express thanks. That's often mentioned in the Psalms. To praise the Lord is the matter of acknowledging and pointing out the positive characteristics of another. So if we're going to praise the Lord, that's all there is to talk about. Positive characteristics, those qualities, those attributes of God. And to acknowledge them and praise has to do with singing unto the Lord, giving honor unto him that way. So the emphasis is upon praise ye the Lord. Now look in verse number 2. Look at this. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So what verse number 2 and 3 really speak to us about is this, is there has never been a time that the Lord wasn't worthy of praise. Somebody say amen and I'll keep moving. If not, I have to stop here and preach on a little bit. There's never been a time the Lord wasn't worthy of praise. The Lord is presently worthy of praise. There will never be a time in the future he is not worthy of praise. And he points this out to us. I know it's simple, but it's also wonderful. When he said, blessed be the name of the Lord, watch this, from this time forth and forevermore. Now, we might reflect back, since it's been brought up, the kind of year that 2020 has become. We might look back to January of 2020 and find that it was really easy to praise the Lord. Things were going good and schedules were on and nobody much alarmed about health any more than usual. January would have been flu season anyway, and people deal with that. And then the economy was good, jobs were good. People working at a higher rate of employment than a long, long time. Just a lot of things going good and fine. At least they were in my life and the church I was a part of, the meetings that I was in. It was easy to praise the Lord. But he said, praise ye the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. But now wait, we don't know what lies ahead. Right, that's the point. We don't know what lies ahead. But whatever it is that lies ahead has nothing to do with whether the Lord is worthy of praise. From this time forth and forevermore, he is going to be worthy of praise. You know, Brother Sam, you just can't imagine what happened in our life or my family or this home and this and that. Boy, do I understand that, because I can tell you right now, in our own family, certainly it's been more than the pandemic that has gotten the attention of our family. And so I'm not going to say any more than that, just that it's been a stressful time and some big issues. And so that doesn't matter either. Praise ye the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Nothing is going to happen either globally. Nothing is going to happen nationally. Nothing is going to happen locally. Nothing is going to happen within our family. Nothing is going to happen in your personal life that will eliminate the fact that the Lord ought to be praised. See, that's settled. It's done. In fact, look in verse number 3, brings it down to even a little stronger detail when he says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now, we drove up from Oklahoma City this morning, and I know I'm talking to a lot of Okies, maybe some of your transplants, and you haven't got it yet. This is a beautiful state. Maybe there aren't any Okies in here. But anyway, I am. And I say, this is a beautiful state. People that don't see the beauty in Oklahoma, I just tell them, that's on you. I can't help it. I don't know what to do for you. And I've had people across the country, you know, from mountainous states and beautiful areas and scenery and all of that. And they say, I've been to Oklahoma. And they kind of get this look on their face. And I just say to them, if you can't see the beauty in it, or if you don't like it, If you don't like it, don't complain to me. I see it. You complain to God. I had nothing to do with what Oklahoma looks like. How about you? Nothing absolutely to do with it. And so you talk about the rising of the sun. This morning we was driving up, and, you know, it was light, but the mist was still hanging out there as you look across the plains up north of Guthrie and gun the Cimarron River there. You've done it a few times. And yeah, you go along there, and the mist is hanging over the scenery out there. The grass is green. Come on, for August, this is amazing. The grass is green all over the place. It's just absolutely beautiful. And I just, my wife is over there tending to personal matters that she didn't take care of before, she, you know, makeup and all that kind of stuff. And so she wasn't seeing it all, and I'm just listening to the Cathedral Quartet. And I'm listening to them and looking at the music, and I'm thinking, listening to the music and saying, my soul, looking at the scenery, this, it doesn't get any better. Praise the Lord. Beautiful time of day. Beautiful time of day. Some of you aren't morning people. All, like the sign that my wife has in our kitchen says, all the coffee in the world will not make me a morning person. And so you miss a lot, though, if you don't see the morning. Oh, it's beautiful. Wonderful. And from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I remember when I was pastoring in Stillwater one day, I had my son with us. He's 39 now, and he was about 5 then. And I took him to Oklahoma City. We had to run down there and make about 3 hospital calls and got him in the car. And it was the time of year. The sun was, you know, going down fairly early. We're going down I-35 there north of Stillwater. And you can see out across the plains of the Stillwater exit there. You see across the plains forever to the west. And the sun was going down. And the sky was just, it was magnificent. I mean, it was amazing. Most beautiful sunset. I've seen them in Hawaii and other places I didn't care to go, you know. But anyway, I've seen some beautiful sunsets. I never seen any more beautiful sunsets than right here in the plains of Oklahoma. Looking out there, and I mean, I'm driving south and I'm looking west and trying to keep the car on the road. My boy and I are looking. And Samuel, about 5 years old, he said, Dad. I said, what? He said, do you think we could pull over here and thank the Lord for letting us see that? I said, no, bud, we don't have time for that. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said, of course we can. Pulled over on the shoulder of the road and sat there and prayed and thanked God. Rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Nothing is going to happen on any day but what the Lord ought to be praised. And that's emphatically stated here. It starts off in verse number 1. Enters into verse number 2, from this time forth and forever more forward, and from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now, somebody might read that, maybe somebody unlike you that's not so familiar with the Bible, and they might read that or hear that, and they would say, okay, so what is it about the Lord that is worthy of such praise? I mean, why is it we're supposed to give such attention to it? Because like I said, this isn't an isolated admonition here in the 113th Psalm. It's all through the Psalms. It's through the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 12 is another one in the prophet Isaiah that has a good deal to do with how we should enthusiastically praise the Lord. But nonetheless, you might look at it, or someone might, and say, so what is it about the Lord that is worthy of such praise? Right now, look at verse 4. Watch this. The Lord is high. We could pause right there for a long time. The Lord is high. In fact, I think I will pause here for a second. You know the reason I would emphasize that? Same reason you and I as preachers and those who handle the Word of God, we need to really emphasize, is everybody listening now? The highness of God. Or let's say it another way, the lofty nature of God. I started out in the ministry in 1967, my wife and I did. And so in 1967, that'd be 53 years ago, this summer, last month is when we got started. And I can say right now that 53 years later, I'm not living in the same culture and the same society. I'm not living in the same USA I lived in then. I'm not serving the Lord in the ministry now in the same country I was serving the Lord in then. Now, what I mean by that, I'm still a red-blooded, flag-waving American, can't hardly make it through the Star-Spangled Banner without getting emotional about it. I mean, I'm still all of that. But I'm just saying, as far as the pulse beat and the spiritual condition of our society, our culture, our nation is nothing like it was then. Excuse me. And it's not like I'm saying it was a perpetual revival back there 53 years ago. It wasn't. We had issues. The 1960s were a very tumultuous decade. And a lot of the things we live with now started in the 1960s with the moral and the social revolution that took place, where there was this outcry against everything that would be called establishment, whether it's the government or whether it's religion or whether it's education or whether it's the finance industry or anything. It was an attack on our republic, an attack upon democracy. It was a thrust towards socialism. That was a very tumultuous time. And many of the things, I'm not making this up myself, many of the things that we deal with right now really got the, was like a catalyst in the 1960s and imposed upon this nation. And in the 1960s, though, I can tell you this, that in the 1960s, overall, you would have found a higher view of God in opinion polls than you'll find right now. No comparison. No comparison. That there were people that may not have been godly day by day, may not have been God, what you'd call God-fearing people, but at least had some reverence, for God, and some reverence for the fact that we as a nation have enjoyed the blessings of God. And there were people that at least acknowledged that, whether they lived for God day by day, at least they had acknowledged that. But the views of God have come down. I don't have to explain all of that to this assembly, I'm quite sure. But the views of God have continued to come down, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but what really bothers me is pulpits have accommodated it. And the view that they present of God is more like a buddy and more like a friend and more like this. Now, excuse me just a second. I believe that God is our friend. He was the friend of Abraham. I want to live my life in such a way that I could be called a friend of God like Abraham. So do you. But there's a difference in that and understanding from a biblical perspective and way it is presented in some of the soft and meaningless music that is presented and some of the sermons that are everything to do with you feeling good about yourself. See. Let me tell you right now, God's high. He's high and lofty. Look in verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations. Let's stop there just a second. The Lord is high above all nations. That's what it says. Are nations important? Well, yes. How could you count them unimportant? They came into existence because of God. He set the boundaries for the nations. Sure, we understand it. As a matter of fact, there is not evidence in the Bible that we are to have regard for human government among the nations. So, yeah, and the nations are significant. I feel like apologizing to the world and to God that the United Nations is on our soil here in the United States. But when the United Nations meet and the heads of state come from all over the world, it's a pompous event. And it's a big deal. And often the media follows it. And sometimes if you watch it, there is the prime minister of, and there is the king of, and there's the president of, and pointing out all of these dignitaries as they gather and assemble together to conduct their business that they believe is shaping the future of our world. Our destiny is in our own hands. It's what you hear a lot of world leaders say, candidates for president and such as that. Our destiny is in our own hands. Well, not quite. That's a little bit of an overstatement right there. But are the nations important? Of course they are. Absolutely. It'd be foolish to say they're not. But you want to know how high God is? Look at this. The Lord is high above all nations. Okay, let's see. His glory is above the heavens. That's we could talk about that one for a long time, especially if I understood the outer space and the constellations and the worlds that are out there. I don't, but I'm just saying it's infinite. And God's high above all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Now, the point is, God is high and lofty. Let's borrow from Isaiah 57. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Somebody said, what does it mean, inhabit eternity? You're asking me? How would I know? I live in this finite world. I live with this little pea brain. Don't say amen here. It's a bad time to say amen. This little pea brain, finite mind of mine. And you want me to explain what it means he inhabits eternity? How big is eternity? You see, our minds fall off the edge trying to think about all this. But here's what the scripture says. Excuse me. Here's what God has revealed of himself. He said, I am the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. We could pause there for a long time. His name is holy, right? Holy means other than all of his creation. Every time you hear somebody say, well, you know, when I think about God, I look at God like this. Get ready to hear something really dumb. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but like they're not going to take what God's revealed about themselves, put the brain in gear and come up with something like God. You know what God's revealed himself? He's not like anything you know. He's not like anything I know. He is unlike all of his creation. Is his creation magnificent? Oh, certainly his creation is magnificent. Can we see the power of God in his creation? Of course. Read all the Psalms. And you'll see, Psalm 8, the power of God in creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, what his hands have wrought. Certainly it's magnificent. But here's what God reveals about himself. He said, I am high above all the nations. Now look at this. And his glory above the heavens, the Lord is high and lofty, inhabits eternity. His name is holy. Wow. The youth camp speaker was determined to relate to young people. And cool was everything. Cool. I hate the term. I don't use it. It's cool. There are people that do. That's fine. That's none of my business. There are people that call women guys, but that's none of my business either. I'm just saying. So all the cliches and stuff like that, they bother me. I'm not expecting to bother everybody out here. I'm not trying to convince you of it. But I'm just saying, cool. And so this guy's cool, and he's going to make sure that the kids are cool. He's dressed cool, you know, and everything's so casual. And young people, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at each other right now and just say, God is so cool. And all the young people at the youth camp start looking at each other. God is so cool. God is so cool. Everybody say, God is so cool. And everything in me is saying, no, no. God's not a rock star. He's not an athlete. He's not somebody that impresses you because of just the personality and stuff like that that you think's cool. That's not God. I'm thinking to myself when I hear God is so cool, I'm thinking of the verse that says, for I am a consuming fire. Now, that's what God said about himself, which I assume would be something different than cool. I am a consuming fire. That's what God said about himself. And if people want to think about God like they think about some superstar, whether an athlete, athletics or in entertainment or politics or whatever it might be, and that's how they think of God, that's quite a bit lower than what he's revealed about himself. He's high above the nations. Speaking of, who put these things here? Those are, yes. When he says high above the nations, think about this here for just a second. Isaiah chapter 40 comments on that. In Isaiah chapter 40, I mean, that's a beautiful passage. You need to go read it yourself. But he said, the nations to God or a drop in the bucket. Now, I was raised 40 miles down the road, back to the west a little bit, at Perry. That's where I was raised. And my dad farmed, and I can hardly talk without talking about the farm life and everything. I know what a bucket is. I know what slop buckets are, milk buckets. I know what they are. I know buckets that I had to carry out to the garden because we had a bad well, no water. And so I'd carry, pump it out of the cistern, carry water out to the garden in the hot time of summer for my mom's tomato plants and everything. And it never even entered her mind. It was 104 degrees. Never did. It's not safe out there. It's not safe. Don't tell her. She'd be in prison today for all the child abuse and everything. And you're carrying little, my arms are about that big around. I'm carrying buckets of water out there to the garden, to water the garden and such as that. And I know what a bucket is like, a 3-gallon bucket, a 5-gallon bucket, all of that. You know what a drop of water looks like in a 5-gallon bucket? And God says, when I look at the nations from where I sit, high and lofty, inhabiting eternity, the nations are a drop in the bucket. And he sees them, God sees them, listen to this, as less than nothing. See, now if God wanted to say, the nations don't matter, he knew how to say that. But the idea is not the insignificance and the smallness of the nations. The idea is the significance and the greatness of the eternal God. Amen. That's what he's teaching us, see. And is high above all the nations. The nations are as nothing. In fact, it even goes on to say that to him, they are less than nothing. How does something become less than nothing? You're asking me? I don't know. I just know the greatness of God is such that there's nothing with which to compare him. See. And if you look here at the passage, look at down at verse number 6. This is the verse, well, verse 5 says, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Our God's sort of like, he's sort of like nothing. You know, my grandpa always said that he said God was like, God is like nothing we know. God is who and what he said he is. If we don't accept what God said about who and what he is, then we're going to look at God as something, someone, less than who he is. See, look at verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Watch this. This verse really knocked me down. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. How high is God? I remember one of our early meetings at Heartland, back in probably 99, maybe 2000, we were having our graduation preaching conference, and Dave Hardy, I'd ask him to preach, and so he was preaching, and he chose Isaiah 57:15 that we quoted here just a little bit ago. I'm the high and lofty one, habiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And he's preaching the best sermon I've ever heard on the holiness of God to this day. It's fantastic. It was fantastic. And Brother Hardy's preached here, I'm sure, so many of you would remember him. And he's got a certain way about him that you think he's mad, and he's not. He's not going to hurt anybody. But he'll be going along, and he'll kind of say something with an attitude. Like he'll say, he's talking about the lofty nature of God, and he looked at the audience, and he said, I can see some of you are looking at me and saying, well, Hardy, how high is he? And he hesitated, and he said, well, how high can you think? He hesitated again and said, he's higher than that. And he is. He is so high above his creation that he humbles. This isn't my opinion. This is what the book says. This is God's revelation of himself. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and the earth. 2 years ago this summer, right about now, or last month, we were up in the Northwest, traveling around the Northwest for several weeks and preaching, and we were in Dillon, Montana. And after the service that night, went to a pizza place and went out after the pizza place after we got it closed down and nobody else around, got in this parking lot. They call Montana Big Sky Country. And so I'm not sure that I was any more impressed with the sky there than I have been anywhere else. But it was one of those nights, beautiful, clear, still, cool in July at that altitude at Dillon, and went out in the parking lot, and I just looked up and I said, wow. And there was a star that's over here. See, if I knew what was going on, I'd know the name of it. Many of you would. And I'd say that, oh, yeah, this. And the preacher started talking, and he said, oh, yeah, that's this and that. And he started talking with intelligence that I never heard from a Baptist preacher about the heavens. And I just stood there. He went over to his truck and unlocked the back bed thing there that's covered, got out this little tripod and his microscope that he uses, and started looking up there, and he said, oh, look, come look at this, look at this. And I'd go over, and I couldn't find anything. I didn't know what I was looking for. You see it? I said, yeah. Isn't that great? I said, never seen anything like it. Well, I'd never looked through one like that, telescope like that, so it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. So anyway, he's going on. He's telling all this, and he's just talking about, with intelligence, he's talking about the heavens and what's beyond and amazing. And God said, what makes you amazed at my creation, I lower myself, I humble myself to even behold it. That sunset I'm talking about, doesn't it lift our heart to God and say no artist could ever conceive that if God didn't draw it in the sky? Come on. And God says, Sam, my son Sam too, what makes you amazed and want to thank me? I humble myself to see it. The Berkshire Mountains in Western Mass and Western Connecticut, October 14th and 15th, the colors explode. Incredible. Stood there and just had tears I couldn't control. Come down my face. Amazing. This is amazing. God said, son, what makes you think of my might in creation? I am so high above my creation, I humble myself to even behold it. All I'm trying to say is we need to elevate our views of God to where they fit, not what are the popular opinion of the culture is, but where they fit what God has revealed of himself. And if we're not thinking of God according to what he's revealed of himself, we are thinking way too low of God. Somebody say amen. If we're not thinking of God in a manner according to how he has revealed himself, we are thinking way too low of God. So he's high and lofty. Oh, yeah. Infinitely so. Well, see, that would lead some people to say, God's so high above his creation, he couldn't possibly care what's there. There are theologians, we could call some of their names, that have gone into this kind of thinking. He is, if he is who he's revealed, if he's that high above, he couldn't possibly care about the details of this little marble called planet Earth and what's going on here. He couldn't possibly be concerned about that. I agree. Unless he said otherwise. And he said otherwise. Look at our song. You see, verse 6, he humbles himself to behold things that are in the heavens and the earth. Look at verse 7. And yet he is so personal, he knows about the poor. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman, part of this psalm came from Hannah's praise of the promise of God being fulfilled in the birth of Samuel. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Can I have your attention, saints? Here's the thing that should light our souls up. The fact that God is high and lofty, oftentimes called by theologians the incomprehensible God. We are unable in these finite minds to fully comprehend God. All we can know is what he's revealed about himself. But what he is the infinite one. There's not another like him. The self-sufficient, self-existent one. Don't compare him to anything. He's God. And yet, so high and lofty, he is so very personal. If we had time, we don't. But if we did, we'd go to the 139th Psalm, where David starts off and he says, thou hast known me, my uprising. Come on, you remember these. Psalm 130. My downsitting, My thoughts are far off. Read the 139th Psalm and tell me that this high and lofty one is not a personal God. Because there's no reason to believe that what David was saying about his relationship to God should be any different than you and me and our relationship to God. What he knew about David, he knows about you. What he knew about David, he knows about me. And the wonderful thing is, this high and lofty God that is worthy of our praise from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same from this time forth and forevermore, this God whose name ought to be praised without ceasing, this God who is high and lofty above his creation, this God cares about every detail of your life. You don't mean every detail. Well, make me up a list of things God's indifferent to. My wife and I are in a transition time of life, and since we lived in the same house for the past 29 years, and tomorrow is moving day. So we got the house, retirement community we're going to live in, and our house, we're supposed to close on it on Friday, and we're making this move. Well, we've only thought about it for the past 6 years, and we pray about it. Didn't seem to be any inspiration to move on. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, just this past spring, it just kind of came to me and said, it's time. We've got to get this moving. Taking it to the Lord. And so, you know, we just going to trust God for this thing. So found the place we wanted to live in and the type of a community we wanted to live in, and such as that, put the house on the market. Well, it's a 70-year-old house. It's on an acre of land about two blocks from the church. It's not a neighborhood. That's the desire of the people that are moving to Oklahoma City. But we liked our old house, 2,800 square feet, you know, had been added to and such as that over the years. 1 acre of land. Put it on the market, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, took it off the market at 7:30. Five showings, 7:30 in the evening, 5 showings and 3 offers. And we're closing Friday on one of those offers. It just seemed like it was right. Well, the place we wanted, it was there, and yep, they accepted our offer. The sale of our house, I may have it priced too high, but got what we was asking for. Even had one offer $10,000 more than I was asking for. Why didn't you take it? I think some of that was hot air, but anyway, I'm not sure. So anyway, and I look at that, and Sandra and I have been thanking the Lord. Now, we're sick and tired of the process of moving, you know, boxing everything up and the house you live in 29 years and all of that. We're sick and tired of that, but we got peace about it. You think God cares about when you move? Yeah. He's my father. I'm his child. I said, he's my father. He's your father. You're his child. You ever raised children? Would you have a big list of things you didn't care this way or that way about? He's not that kind of father. He cares about the details of our life. High and lofty. You'll never overthink the highness of God. We're not even capable. Yet so very, very personal. When it comes down to it, you say, wow, what can we say? Well, basically one thing. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you have revealed of yourself. We've just talked about it a few minutes. Books upon books can be written on the subject. Bless the remainder of the services today. Accept our thanks and our adoration for what you have revealed of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.